All right, to get us started, I will read the first paragraph on page 18 in your service manual, chapter 3, the Area Assembly and its Activities. An outstanding characteristic of every good operational structure is that it guarantees harmonious and effective function by relating its several parts and people in such a way that none can doubt what their respective responsibilities and corresponding authorities actually are. Unless these attributes are well defined, unless those holding the final authority are able and willing properly to delegate and maintain a suitable operational authority, unless those holding such delegated authority feel able and willing to use their delegated authority freely as trusted servants, and unless there exists some definite means of interpreting and deciding doubtful situations, then personal clashes, confusion, and ineffectiveness will be inevitable. Concept 10 is where that was taken from. And to get us started, I've asked Bob to read the second and third paragraph that follows on page 18. Bob, thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name's Bob. I'm an alcoholic. My home group's the Living Sober Group in Hope Sound, Florida, and I serve as the District 6 Technology Chair. The areas hold an important position in the U.S.-Canada General Service Conference structure. The areas are directly connected to the AA groups and their members through DCMs and GSRs. At the same time, they participate in the decision-making of AA through the area delegates. At the heart of each area is the assembly meeting, where the democratic voice of our fellowship expresses itself. While each area has the autonomy to conduct its meetings according to its conscience, concepts 12 offers the general warranties of the conference as the guiding principles to remain democratic in thought and action.
Thank you, Bob. Remember, if you have just joined us, if you have a question at any time during tonight's presentation, please send it directly to Billy through the chat. He will be answering questions throughout this presentation as he sees fit. Billy, you'll have until 15, I'm sorry, you'll have until 5 minutes to the top of the hour, and the time is now yours. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Any more readings on your side?
Nope, we're all good.
Excellent. Good evening, everyone. I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. Good to all be here. We are starting tonight on page 18, if you have the current service manual, that is titled The Area Assembly and Its Activities. I think one of the first things I'd like to talk about is the picture, if you all have this book. I love this picture on the bottom of page 18. It sometimes, to me, is a visual description of a lot of some of the issues we may face today in today's AA. That visual would be a really good visual if we made it of the General Service Conference. Just imagine that for a second. If we took the same visual and said, okay, we have 135 people, 93 of them would be the black color. That's what they have the color for GSR here. 21 of them would be trustees, 6 would be directors, and 15 would be staff. That would be a really good visual. The problem with the visual on page 18 is how many areas today really have over two-thirds of GSRs when they're conducting business. Now, some of those areas' guidelines might not even say they need over two-thirds. I haven't read all 93. But it is interesting that the picture that they chose to use to represent an area structure is that the GSRs and the DCM should be the overwhelming voters. And even in their example, Off to the left, area chair, registrar, treasurer, treasurer, delegate, alternate delegate. They don't have the vast amount of committee chairs that many of our areas have. And in many of our areas, those committee chairs get votes. In some of them, the alternate committee chairs get votes. And again, like when we discussed DCMs, there is a different way of doing business in each of the 93 areas. So it's super important that you know how your area does business. But I don't think I'm talking at a school when I say that was the intention was for the GSRs and DCMs to be the overwhelming over two-thirds amount of voters compared to everyone else. And then we get to, we already talked about quorum last week. What is the quorum? I don't know what that... Okay, so the service manual is now in the chat if you do not have it. So let's talk about, because you can all read the pages, and I'm going to go through a couple of the things that I like there. But I would just be curious, just so I have an idea. Again, no virtual hands, just your regular hands. Is there anybody here from the Pacific region? Okay, thank you. Is there anybody here from the Southwest region? Thank you. Is there anybody here from the Southeast region? Thank you. Is there anybody here from the West Central region? Thank you. Is there anybody here from the East Central region? Thank you. And is there anybody here from the Northeast region? And last but not least, any of our Northern friends in Eastern and Western Canada, any of them here? So, there we go. The problem that we face is that all eight regions are present, okay? Which means at least one of the 93 areas from each of those regions is present. And you all do business different ways. And let's talk about that for a second in things that before we even get to the, you know, kind of boring writing is some of you go to weekend long assemblies. They start on Friday night and end on Sunday morning. How many of you go to them? I'm curious. How many all weekend assembly? Yeah, of course. And then what about some of you? You go to one day assemblies. They're held in your area on one day, on a Saturday or a Sunday. Any of those here? Of course. So we all have to take that in the back of our head that, like, it's easy to talk about assemblies, but whose assembly are you talking about? Are you talking about yours? Are you talking about someone else's? Do you expect someone else's to be like yours? Because we tend to be people like that. We tend to, when we get someplace, hey, how come you don't do it the way we did it? None of those ways is wrong, by the way. The only way that's wrong is if you've been doing it the same way for 50 years and haven't re-examined it. Is the way that worked in 1960 or 70 the best way that would work today? That's the only thing that I would question as to wrong. There's some commonalities inside area assemblies and activities. It's quite often in a smaller geography area, those are the one-day assemblies. In the larger geography assemblies, those are the over the weekend, you know. Anybody here, I'm sure, has been to Montana or certain parts of Canada, certain parts of Texas, you can drive 8 hours without leaving an area. Like you're still in the same area. Whereas you could go to Chicago and in an hour and a half, you could almost drive into two areas. Like it's so small geographically. Again, whatever works for that area. So after what was read at the beginning of the meeting, you know, the first thing it says under purpose at the top of 19 is not all areas operate in the same way, but generally speaking, an area's purpose is threefold. One, to elect a delegate to represent an area at the annual General Service Conference. Two, to form a local decision-making structure so groups can collectively decide on matters that affect their area. And three, to carry out 12-step work that may not be practical for groups, districts, or intergroups, or by themselves. Examples may not limited to PI, CPC, corrections, the whole bit. A couple of things inside those three that we just need to just make sure we acknowledge. Inside number two, the local decision-making structure, there's probably a good chance that there's a central office or intergroup inside your area structure. Some areas have no central offices or intergroups. Zero. Some areas have one. Some areas have 15. And some of those intergroups and central offices are taking votes that affect local AA. And it's really then the issue at number three to carry out 12-step work, which is really to facilitate 12-step work. I'm really surprised that they wrote it this way because we love the word facilitate. It's the way we delineate between what GSO does and doesn't do. We don't do 12-step work. We facilitate 12-step work. But here's one of the things I want to throw out for everybody in AA today to be aware of. It's so important to understand number two and number three in your area. It might not affect how your area operates, but it will affect stepping on each other's toes and effectively carrying out that work. It will affect that for sure. Take a district or an area that has three central office intergroups in it. There's a local AA service entity not in the general service structure. Again, I'm not anti-intergroup at all. Intergroups do great work. Often they're the first people that are called. They're the phone number in the book. They're the website connection. What I would tell you is most areas that I talk to, the last time they sat down with the intergroups in their general service area to find out, hey, what work are you doing? And what work are we doing? And who is doubling and tripling up on the same work? Because remember, inside all this work, and there is a lot of work to be done to facilitate 12-step work, the groups that are supporting them are the same. It's the same groups who are dividing up their contributions and sending it to each of these entities. I'm not out here saying, let's combine intergroups into general service. We should have did that a long time ago. But we have to live with what we live with. And we have to act. We can't like put our heads in the sand like it doesn't exist. And all I'm suggesting for future AA leaders I've seen, again, I'll ask another question. Is anyone here from an area that elects a liaison to attend intergroup meetings? Okay. That makes perfect sense. But a lot of times these liaisons, their job is to communicate between both intergroup and general service. But when's the last time your area officers sat down with the officers of intergroup, just like in a room for a day or a couple hours, and said, hey, what 12-step work are we all facilitating? And who's doing the same thing? And I'm not saying that it's bad to do the same thing. I'm just saying we don't have the money. We can't be self-supporting the way we divide up money. It does go on to say who makes up the area assembly. PSRs, DCMs, area officers, area committee chairs, area delegate. So what's interesting there is I would ask, how many of these are voting members at your assembly? Are the GSRs, do they vote at your assembly? Pretty much now we can say that's 100%. Up until like 2005, we had one area that still didn't let GSRs vote at assemblies. DCMs mostly voted assemblies. But we have some areas with some outliers. We have some areas where DCMs are not allowed to vote. We have some areas where only GSRs are allowed to vote at the assembly. We have some areas where a GSR is allowed to vote but not make a motion. Only a DCM is allowed to make a motion. We have all kinds of rules. But my question is for you, to help you, take this list under composition and these five bullet points, GSR, DCM, area officer, area committee chair, area delegate. Become familiar in your area which one of these can vote. Who can vote? You also want to make sure which alternates can vote. I would tell you, for the most part, alternate GSRs and DCMs don't seem to vote at most assemblies. But when you get to area officers, sometimes the alternate area officers get to vote. Usually the alternate delegate, that makes sense. But in some other areas, the alternate registrar, the alternate secretary, the alternate treasurer get to vote. I'm just telling you, find out. Who has a vote? Who doesn't? The area committee chairs. Corrections. CPC. Public information. Archives. Go on and on and on. Do they have a vote? And do their alternates have a vote? All of us sitting in our respective little bubbles or islands, it's easy to get lost on this, but what makes it simple is I don't really care if you rip this page out of the service manual or take a picture of it on your phone. Who votes at the assembly you attend at? Who actually has a vote? I'd be curious here of the people on the screen. Who thinks they 100% know who votes your assembly? Okay, thank you. And who thinks maybe they don't know who votes at their assembly 100%? Okay. That's what this little chart is perfect for. The election assembly it goes into that's held every 2 years, the delegates elected typically along with other area officers. There are a couple of areas that don't elect all area officers at the same time. They elect like the delegate and alternate delegate one cycle and the secretary, treasurer, and registrar another. But for the most part, we elect alternate delegates at the same time. We elect alternates and all officers at the same time. Again, I would, to focus on what I said last week, I'd love for anybody to send me an email who goes to an area election assembly this fall where the first position they start off electing is like alternate registrar or secretary. It's not going to happen. They're going to start with delegate and go to alternate delegate and go to area chair and maybe to alternate area chair. My point on this is what I was saying last week. Why don't we elect our GSRs first in our groups? Why isn't that the first election we hold? If that is the most important position, why is it down at the bottom? Election assemblies, half of you, if we have a decent split, will have election assemblies this year. Those are handled in all different ways. Some areas send out service resumes. Some areas post them on the line. Some areas put them in the newsletters. Hopefully you do not have nominations, but we're only covering at a high level here. But do remember that whoever is electing your GSR, or if it's you, if you have a vote, that's your ultimate right of decision. Your ultimate. You don't get to be there with the delegate at the conference. You don't get a report on an app of how they just voted like you're watching Congress, you know, on C-SPAN. You have no idea. They get to be in the room and you do not. That's who you're voting for. And nobody deserves to be delegate. Or maybe I should even say that a better way. Everybody deserves. It's nobody's time ever. We don't say that it's their time. Or, you know, they've been doing it for so long, it's their time. We have to elect the best delegate for this time in 2024 to do the work of your area. That's who should get elected. Eligibility to vote at assemblies, and that is such a convoluted mess with the 93 areas. Again, it's a mixed bag. Hopefully, your election assembly, there is a facilitator who is not voting, who is participating. Hopefully, your election assembly, they're using written ballots, paper ballots, and they're using third legacy voting, which we will get to later. What I really wanted to focus on, because these practices and procedures, again, you know, I do this thing for Iran every Sunday, and it's all their delegates. And 100% of the questions always start with, can we? Every question. Can we? Can we? And I always say to them, you can do whatever you want. I have no idea if you can do that. I don't know what your structure says. That's why it's so important to know your area guidelines, because just look at under project practices and procedures. I love that it says, do the chairs of special committees have a vote? I don't know. What does your area guidelines say? Do GSRs of prison and hospital groups have a vote? Again, that's up to your area. I don't know how your area does business. And I will tell you that this is not a judgment. This is an observation. I hope it comes off as an observation. There are times when it would have been a judgment, for sure. But my observation is that in each of the 93 areas, there are people who know the service manual. That's great. But the people who seem to dominate and control the assembly, they know their local procedures inside and out. They know how business gets done and doesn't get done. They know all the rules. I remember one time myself, I might have been nothing, actually. I had left my job in New York to take a job in Chicago in my company, and I remember I was online at the Chicago Area Service Assembly, which at that time was not even, they didn't have the Chicago Area Service Assembly. It was still the Chicago Area Service Committee. GSRs did not have votes. I remember I went up to the microphone with my service manual in my hand, the old brown one. And I remember a past delegate said to me, "Oh, yeah, we don't use that thing here. You might want to throw that away." And I was like, what? But he was right. They didn't use it. They had their own manual. And I think that's the hardest thing to get across to people, is that the 12 concepts in the back of the service manual are spiritual principles to be interpreted and applied. But the front of the service manual, the front of the service manual, imagine this. Imagine you took the owner's manual for a Tesla, a BMW, a Kia, a Ford, a Chevy, and three others, and put them all together in one so-called owner's manual. That's what our service manual basically is. It's at a high level trying to say these are the basics, but you got to check your own manual for what we're doing. Now, what I want to focus on is really the job of the delegate. And, you know, we go to the area committee and then we go to the delegate as a separate thing. But the assembly belongs to the area. We have become so bureaucratic. I'm not sure the way we reviewed conference agenda items 40 years ago is the best that works for 2024. I hope that everyone who's part of a general service area is having this discussion Does the delegate just do what the delegate did the year before or 2 years before? I went to a delegate report back recently. It's very hard because I'm in contact with a lot of people that are very active in service. But honestly, and this was for the whole General Service Conference, the entire one, there were six questions. Six. And somewhere along the line, asking questions has gone out of style or out of turn. I want to stress this part because of that. Like, have we put so little focus on the agenda items at the conference that we have some kind of speed dating meeting with the delegate before and after? And what about communication? How is communication in your assembly? Some area delegates communicate everything to their GSRs and DCMs. Some area delegates decide they don't need to know that. I just think there's a lot of questions for the area assembly to think about in the future. Like, what do you want to be communicated with? We all know this year, we all know that this year there was a sensitive topic at the General Service Conference. I guess that's the easiest way to put it. Last year, there might have been some, one or two. But I get so bothered by these kind of red herring topics because then everyone forgets about everything else that's on the agenda. And is there time to really go through it? I think the most important job of the delegate and the area is to get information to the groups. And I think the most important job of the groups is to get information to the delegate. Inside the areas, sometimes we turn the triangle upside down. Who is serving who? I see a lot of governmental action these days where area officers tell GSRs and DCMs what to do. The GSRs and the DCMs are there to tell the delegate and the area officers what to do. And so people get upset with hard questions. And I just want to make sure that everybody here who might welcome somebody in an assembly in any capacity, please understand the person asking the question, it's because they love AA. It's not because they're a troublemaker. It's not because they want to stir the pot. It's just because they care enough about AA to ask a question. Now, again, I say some things here that get back to people like conventions. Yeah. Some areas have conventions. Some states have conventions. And then you know what most general service assemblies do? They want to regulate what is an AA convention and what's not. And what can officially be on their website. I don't know where any of that has come from. I don't know why we're not kinder about listing AA events. I go by the definition of the guidelines for AA events. you know, put on for AA by AA. Many areas have websites. That website's number one responsibility, usually, is serving the area. However, what about if you're an area without an intergroup? Then it might be the place that new alcoholics come for help. So I don't want to tell any area how theirs should look. But take a look at some of the area websites out there. I often laugh when I read the complaints about the GSO website. Have you taken a look at some of the area websites? Oh my God. They're like circa 1995, 1997, 2000. They haven't been updated at all. They haven't been used to help communicate with the groups. But it is important that, you know, we have them. I just want to answer a question. How about an ad hoc committee that has two brothers and their buddy make up the ad hoc committee and actually presented their opinion, but did no actual work? Yeah, listen, I'm a big person about conflicts, and I get yelled at by other people in AA all the time. Oh, Billy, if you're an alcoholic, you can do it. I'm like, no. I think if we have friends or sponsorship, family people, or we should make things fair. That's what I think. How do we get our area to put on a new GSR DCM orientation page on the website to answer all these questions? Annual schedule of assemblies, typical weekend schedules, voting, getting a room in advance. That, I really want to thank the person that asked that question. Here's another thing. GSO doesn't have to do everything. Anybody here ever been to the Akron or Cleveland Intergroup? Okay. They have some great literature of their own. Great pamphlets. Amazing pamphlets. But we have done so little to help new GSRs and new people. Who here has recently, is there anyone here who has recently become a GSR or a DCM in the last, this last, it was the first time you were a DCM or a GSR? Okay, thank you. Now, I don't know if anyone has ever tried going to the AA.org website and searching for things that you need. It can be, even though the search feature is robust, if you don't know what you're doing, it's hard. You know, the person who wrote this question, I just want to read it again because it's so good. How do we put GSR DCM orientation page on their website to answer all questions, schedule of assemblies, typical weekend schedule, voting, getting a room in advance? In my own area, rooms for the next assembly was sold out the first morning after the last assembly. But what about this? What about if you went to GSO's website and then think about your own area website, and there was an anonymity protected person, a video, sitting in front of a computer like I am. Just imagine that. Somebody wrote this to GSO a long time ago. So if you were logged in, you would see me, but I would be anonymity protected, and it would be a video, and you would see a shared screen of what I was doing on my computer. But how awesome would it be if there was almost like a YouTube video to walk a new GSR through our AA.org website and where to find everything and the typical things people can't find, how to easily find them, and what features are there. We have to start thinking. I mean, the website was originally designed to be a public information tool. But now it's all about helping not only the public, but helping our group members. And what do people do when they want to fix something? I can tell you right now, there is a motorcycle right outside my kitchen door, 20 feet away from me. If there is something wrong with it, I will go on YouTube. I will type in a couple of keywords, and 80% of the stuff I can fix myself. Areas, like, wouldn't it be great, like, not only where the assembly is, but a section that says, you've became a new GSR, things you should know about going to your area assembly. Those things would be awesome. And I love the person who wrote this. Let's see. Someone wants to know, shouldn't the home group operate the same way the intergroup works per the fifth tradition, just to line up with your earlier idea of what intergroups does? So I want to make sure that person who asked that, could you tell me line up regarding what they do, regarding voting members or what work they're doing in the community compared to what the intergroup is doing? Is that the question you're asking? I just want to make sure. Oh, okay, the work in the community. Yeah, if you are a busy home group who is out there liking to do PI work in the libraries and maybe some PI work in the probation officers or whatever work you like to do, yes, our money is precious. Find out what the district and intergroup are doing. Should you be going to the same libraries or the same probation officers? Or yes, it is really good to talk to each other and not operate in a vacuum. The one thing I want to stress about assemblies, please get an assembly agenda from 2020. I mean, 2000, 24 years ago. I was there. I'm just assuring you, by that time, most areas were doing things electronically, even if they were on like a disk. Like, things were being done electronically. But get those minutes. Is your assembly being held the same way it was held 20 years ago? Is it being held on the same day at the same time? And maybe it should be. But it's worth a discussion. I would be glad if you told me we still do it every Saturday and Sunday and it still works and we had a big inventory question about this and we reached that conclusion through consensus. I'd be like, that's great. But for the rest of us, we're doing our assemblies because that's the way we've always done our assemblies. That's what we're doing. And in many places, it's not working anymore. My home assembly was over the fire code last assembly. I also know that most assemblies book halls that could never fit all the GSRs. So we've accepted that. Very little GSRs come. I I think it's time we start looking at our assemblies. On page 20, it says, send minutes to GSO. Does any area really do that? And does it help if they do? So there is a section in the GSO archives where they do file away all area minutes that are sent in. So if you do send them in, they will be put in that area's folder section at the GSO archives. I guess it would be important in 50 or 100 years if someone wants to see what's going on. You know why? Thank God they're there. Because I know the pushback some of you are going to get if you ask your secretary for the minutes in 2000. And that's what breaks my heart. Instead of somebody just saying, yes, I'll get you those minutes, they're going to say to you, why do you want them? Why do you need them? And that drives me crazy. You know, I mean, does it make sense that someone not even alive yet in 100 years could get the minutes at the GSO folder? But someone alive today who's active in service, who just wants to look at something, gets a hard time? We have to become much kinder at area service. It's all over. It's not just one area. It's in general. It's not getting people to go to their first assembly that's our trick. It's getting them to return to their second. And not everyone's as thick-skinned as maybe some of us, you know? We need to do a better job of being kinder and compassionate. And we also need to do a better job of saying, what's not working? What are we doing that doesn't work? And what could be done better? So I'm going to put my email again just so that everybody has it. I look forward to getting past, and I'll put my WhatsApp. Because if I stress too much, and that's why I have to stress that there's 93 different ways of doing it, then area chairs and area delegates get mad. Because we're giving people ideas, and that's not how they do things, and there's a lot of autonomy, and I want people to hear from me, yes, I embrace that. But as we go further in the service manual, there's less autonomy about the role of a delegate. There's less autonomy about how the conference operates. And so our hands aren't so restricted. Otherwise, if we really wanted to do these two chapters, we'd have to do it 93 times. And we'd have to get 93 individual service manuals, which would be amazing. But it would take forever. I'm going to read one more question, then it'll be done. Have groups started to have websites instead of relying on the area website? Could it be those who are voting on budgets in my area there year after year and do not see it necessary to update? How does one go about addressing this? How does someone like me with some website experience and the willingness to learn help? I got sober online. My home group is online. I do not have the opportunity to have my voice heard in an area level. So I think what I am going to say to that person is to send me an email and I'm going to contact you. And then I'm just warning you ahead of time. I'm going to contact you with someone close to you that can help you. That's what I'm going to do. But I'm going to figure out what exactly is your little issue there, and we'll put you in contact. But yes, we need your help. Of course we need your help. And if you don't go to AA in person there and you belong to a group that belongs to another area, that's another convoluted problem that we have to get to the bottom of, but that's not the subject of this. So, Dee, thanks for having me out.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.